Good evening, everyone. It's good to see everyone out this evening. I know I repeat myself, but no better way to end the day, no better way to begin the week than being here in a study of God's Word. We need to keep praying for the visitors that we've had on Sunday morning. The lesson I did this morning, I had that young mother in mind when I was working on it about the church. There's a range of knowledge with those visitors. We need to keep encouraging them. It takes a lot of effort to bring those children. We need to keep praying for them, encouraging with them. And as the other prayers have been offered, that their hearts would be open and they would want to do what is right. So I want to begin this evening a series on the minor prophets. I'm taking the text for a beginning from 2 Kings 21:10. And the Lord spoke by his servants, the prophets, saying, and this is general to all the prophets. The Lord speaks, but it was through his prophets. And as I was saying this morning, too, and talking about planning sermons for the year, I want us to have lessons that will increase our growth, help us to grow closer to God, help us to build up the church, help us to be able to reach the lost, and to give us a better understanding of the Bible so that we are not lost in the Bible. Many people know a verse here and a verse there, but we need to be able to open the Bible anywhere we are, know where we are, know where we came from to get there, and know where we're going in God's Word. So what is the Bible? The Bible is a book from God, about God, and the relationship he wants to have with us. It's the story of the salvation of man that comes through Christ to bring honor and glory to God. Jesus wants us to love him, to submit to him as our Lord, to keep his commandments, to walk in his ways, to cling to him, to serve him, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And God is a jealous God, and God will not accept our scraps and our leftovers. When we look at the prophets, the mission of the prophets was to warn those people who would not repent of their idolatry that they would be destroyed. So they were to warn and they were to promise that a remnant would be saved, and from this remnant would come the man, Christ Jesus, and establish a kingdom that would never be destroyed. When we look at a simple outline of the Old Testament, many of these slides you've seen as we've been going over in our Wednesday night class, but again, I'm trying to put them together just to help us understand the Bible better. So we start off with the record of the creation, with God, man, and Satan. We have the sin that takes place, the promise that was made to Abraham that all nations would be blessed through him. Abraham's, his descendants, the Jews, were in the land of Egypt in bondage. They had gone down there because of the famine. They ended up in bondage. The Jews were delivered from bondage. They head to the promised land. Takes 40 years to get there because of their unbelief. They go in, they conquer the land. The Jews, they were oppressed by the inhabitants that they did not destroy. And you see, from the time they left bondage in Egypt, their faith was not what it should be. They did not keep God's word, and they keep going farther and farther away from what God said. God sent judges to deliver them from the oppressing nations. They said, we don't want a judge, we want a king to be like the nations around about us. You have the United Kingdom, Saul, David, and Solomon. The divided kingdom, Judah and Israel, and a number of kings. And then the prophets come in this period where they are preaching to the people, preaching to the kings, to get the people to return back to God. The prophets preach a story of restoration, of restoring the nation back to God. Restore the relationship back to God. Restore the heart back to God. Restore the temple. Restore the wall. It's a story of restoration. When we look at the books of the Old Testament, the books of the law, and then the books of history, again, when we get down to Esther, the books that follow, the major and minor prophets, all of that fits into the timeline in the books of history. The major and minor prophets are not a continuation. They fit in to the period of history. When we talk about the kingdom, as we've just gone through the section of the kings, the northern kingdom, kingdom of Israel with 10 tribes, the southern kingdom, Judah, and how they are captured by other nations. Israel falls to the Assyrians. Judah falls to Babylon. And then in 538, Cyrus edict allows the Jews to return to Jerusalem. And we have this period of the prophets. 17 prophets. 17 books of the prophets. We have the major prophets and the minor prophets. 5 major prophets, and I say 17 books because we have Jeremiah. Jeremiah also wrote Lamentations, but as far as the number of books, 5 major prophets, 12 minor prophets. The major and minor, they are called that based on the size of the books, not on the content. All of it has important content, but the major prophets, the books are longer. And again, when we talk about the prophets, we need to remember 4 places and 3 times. What are the 4 places? Assyria and Judah, because those are the kingdoms the prophets are preaching to. Israel, Judah, and then Nineveh and Babylon. The 4 places. Israel, Judah, Nineveh, and Babylon. And then you have 3 times to remember, again, to help that fit into our minds where we are in this roadmap in the Bible. What are the 3 times? They preached before the exile to get the people to turn back to God. They preached during the exile. And then they preached after the exile. To look at this chart in this manner, so before the exile, we have Jonah, Nahum, Amos, Hosea, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Joel, Micah, Zephaniah, Habakkuk, Obadiah. During the exile, we have Ezekiel and Daniel. And then after the exile, we have Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. So we need to look at what is a prophet. A prophet is a spokesman for God. Prophets were sometimes called seers because they could see into the future. And this office of a prophet was not hereditary as the priest. A priest, if you were a priest, you had to be born into that priestly tribe. Not so with a prophet. Each prophet, each man received his call from God. So again, when we look at an outline of the Old Testament, Isaiah through Malachi, these were prophetical books that belonged to the days of the fall of the Hebrew nation. We think about those 17 prophets, but there were more than that. There were more prophets in all the ages, patriarchal, the Mosaical, the Christian age. Abraham was a patriarch and a prophet, Genesis 20. Noah prophesied the flood. Joseph prophesied 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. Moses and Aaron were prophets, Exodus 7. Gideon was a prophet, Judges 6. Samuel was a prophet, 1 Samuel. Gad was a prophet for King David. Nathan was a prophet for King David. Ahijah was a prophet for Jeroboam. Jehu was a prophet for King Baasha. Elijah prophesied about the fall of the northern kingdom. Elisha also prophesied about the fall of the northern kingdom. Obed was a prophet for King Asa. Then, of course, there were the books of the prophets, major and minor, that we just looked at. John the Baptist was a prophet. Christ was a prophet. And then in the New Testament time, men had the gift of prophecy by the laying on of hands. But when we're looking in the Old Testament, we have these sections of the books of the prophets. Again, why do we need to know this? We see God working throughout history. We see God working with man to reveal himself. We see this story of restoration. That story should come right down to us to get us to restore ourselves, to restore our relationship with God, because we have sinned. This is a listing again with the main summary of each one of them. What I'm planning on doing this evening, we'll have this overview, and then I want to do several lessons, and I will break down the minor prophets. So we'll look at one lesson with Hosea, Joel, and Amos, another one with Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, so on and down to the last section. And hopefully, since we went through this rather quickly on Wednesday evenings, we'll look at some stories with these prophets, again, just to help us understand the Old Testament better. There are so many interesting stories. When you look at the chronological order, it's hard to find two commentaries that agree exactly on the dates. There's different reasons for that. Sometimes the dates of the kings of Israel and Judah are approximate due to overlapping reigns. There are different periods and things that come into play, but this is generally an accepted chronology of them. To look at where the prophets prophesied again for an overview, Jonah sailed from Joppa and then he went to Nineveh. Prophets in Judah were Joel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Zephaniah, Habakkuk, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. From Tekoa, Amos went to prophesy to Israel. Hosea prophesied in Israel. From his home in southern Judah, Micah prophesied to Jerusalem and Samaria. Nahum prophesied to Nineveh. And Edom was the subject of the prophecy of Obadiah. Ezekiel and Daniel prophesied as exiles in Babylon. A lot of prophets. And why were there so many prophets? Because the people's hearts were stubborn. They didn't want to turn back to God. And we see God's patience and his long-suffering. And he would send one prophet. And what did they do to the prophets? Jesus tells the scribes and Pharisees what they did to them. God would send you someone and tell you what you need to do, and you'd kill him. You'd kill him. And that tore up God's heart. Because again, back to the story of the Bible, God desires to have a relationship with us. He loves us, and he wants us to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And in Jeremiah 3, 8, and 9, then I saw that for all the causes for which backsliding Israel had committed adultery, so God looked at Israel as his bride. God was the husband, Israel was his bride. And what did he say Israel had done? Israel's committed adultery. How did she commit adultery? She turned her back on God and she went a-whoring after all these idols out there. She worshiped idols. When I saw that for all the causes for which backsliding Israel had committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a certificate of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah did not fear, but went and played the harlot also with stones and trees. So God took Israel into captivity because Israel was unfaithful. And he says Judah didn't learn the lesson, and Judah played the harlot also with stones and trees, talking about worshiping idols. At the end of 70 years, Babylon was captured by Persia. The Persian king allowed the Jews to return to Palestine. We have the last three prophets, again, prophesying after the exile, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, all trying to get the people to turn their hearts back to God. And it is just, I find it very interesting. I find it an evidence of proof. What the prophet said and what came to pass, showing that the Bible is from God. In Isaiah 44 and verse 28, he says of Cyrus, "He is my shepherd, and he shall perform all my pleasure, saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built, and to the temple your foundation shall be laid. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have to subdue nations before him, and loose the armor of kings, to open before him double doors, so that the gates will not be shut." So Isaiah is prophesying before Cyrus is even born, calling him by name and saying that Cyrus is the anointed of the Lord, meaning all power to any official originates with God. The Lord said to his anointed, to Cyrus, "And he is my shepherd, he shall perform my pleasure," saying to Jerusalem. Cyrus again made an edict that the Jews could return from captivity, go back to Jerusalem, rebuild the temple, rebuild the wall. They could go home. When they return to Jerusalem, there are two periods. The first period, Zerubbabel is the governor. Joshua is the priest. The temple was rebuilt. This is in Ezra 3 through 6. And Haggai and Zechariah were prophets, and that lasted about 20 years. Then another period after the return, Esther was a Persian queen, Nehemiah was the governor, Ezra the priest, and they rebuilt the walls, and Jerusalem was restored. So again, you just see the logical order of things. When the first group goes back, they work on rebuilding the temple. And again, Cyrus went to the storehouse and things that had been robbed from the temple and these battles and captures, the gold and vessels and things that had been taken was in storage, and he gave to them to take back to the temple. He arranged for whatever they needed. He sent people with them. The temple was rebuilt. Then after they have the temple rebuilt, then they start working on rebuilding the wall. Malachi, his prophecy lasted for about 25 years. So as the prophets foretold, the Hebrew kingdom was destroyed. You just see from it's sad, but you see from when they started departing from God and they weren't content for everything that God had done for them. All the signs, all the miracles that he had worked, how he led them out of Egypt, how they crossed through the Red Sea, and the nations round about it could see that God was the true God. when the spies went in to Jericho and Rahab said, the people know who you are. The people know who your God is. Your God is the one that defeated King Sihon and King Og. Your God is the one that destroyed Pharaoh and his army crossing the Red Sea. We know who you are. But then the Israelite people turn their back on God. And it's, you see how that comes down to us today. We know who God is, yet what do? We turn our back on God. Again, the prophets was a message of restoration, ultimately restoring the temple and restoring the wall. But before that, it was restoring their relationship with God, restoring their heart to God. So as they foretold, the Hebrew kingdom was destroyed. God was going to show them again that he was God and he was in control, and I'm going to send you into captivity. As the prophets foretold, also, Christ was born of a virgin. You think there are so many prophecies about the coming of Christ, where he was born, what he would be like, but he was born of a virgin in Bethlehem, and he is king of his everlasting kingdom. Jeremiah 31:31, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It was in God's mind from the beginning of time that this would happen. The church was in God's mind. God knew what the end would be from the beginning, yet all of this unfolded down through time and down through history. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And just to add as an aside in there, so many people today, they just don't understand there's an old covenant and a new covenant. You see people, I see people post things on social media. It's a sin to do this, it's a sin to do that. And they'll quote something from the Old Testament. Now, it may not be wise to do some of these things today, but the Old Testament wasn't written for us. The Old Testament is not in effect today. The Old Testament was the Old Covenant, and it was old. It's called Old Covenant for a reason. It was replaced with a New Covenant. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. You see God's heart in this. I took them by the hand to lead them out, to save them. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. Friends, nobody's going to love us like God does. They didn't learn the lesson. I pray that we learn the lesson before it's too late. Verse 33. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Friends, that is one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible. God's not writing the new covenant on tablets of stone today. He's writing his law on our hearts. In our minds, in our hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Friends, the story of the prophets, the Lord spoke by his prophets, the servants, the prophets, saying. It's a story of restoration, restoring the relationship with God, restoring our heart with God. I hope that this helps as an overview. As we go into looking at them, we see what their role was, how they fit into the Bible, how their message should build our faith. And whatever God says, it's going to happen. When he said, you do this and I'll bless you, you do this, and I will curse you, and it comes to pass. God has not changed what he tells us today we need to do. The blessings await us, and the cursings await us also when we do not obey his words. Friends, if there's anyone here this evening that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.